Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries broadcast with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Woodard, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God, our Father in heaven. Thank you for calling in. And I want to thank Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield for allowing me to come before you every week. They also have a broadcast that comes on every Saturday. They come on at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's called Turn On The Light Ministries. Turn On Light Ministries comes on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Saturday. They're also the assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. Their senior pastor is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and the lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. Their services are held every Sundays at 10:45 a.m., and they also have Bible studies on Wednesdays at noon and 7 p.m. So before we get into the Word, I'm going to play a song for you to set the atmosphere, amen?
Father, fill us to full and overflow. Let praises
rise.
Let praises rise.
From the inside.
From the inside,
from the inside of me,
Father,
may you
delight in the inside,
in the inside,
delight
in the inside
of me.
Be
confess it before him. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Father, which is my reasonable service. Now fill me, Father, right where I am. Fill me. Fill my mind. Fill my thoughts. There's none of me, and there's all of you.
Hallelujah. Fill my life till all they see is you, Lord. Glorify your name. All I want them to see is you, God. I decrease that you may increase. None of me and all of you, God. That your confession tonight? Fill my life till all they see is you. Hallelujah. Well, thank you once again for calling in. And we're going to get into the word, amen? We're going to be coming out of St. Matthew, the 5th chapter, starting at the 43rd verse. St. Matthew, 5th chapter, so that's the 43rd verse. And it reads, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" The last scripture, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, it's perfect. We're going to talk about the letter perfect Christian. The letter perfect Christian. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for allowing us to come before you, God, and to hear your word. Father, everything that's going on in this word, we know that in this world, we know that you're not pleased, God. But Father, we come before you to receive direction, to receive instructions, to receive your command, Father, that we may live perfectly in this earth. And we thank you, Father, for those who have called in. Touch their hearts, Father. Whatever they're going through, we bind it right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your peace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your deliverance. And Father, we be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. The letter perfect Christian. The word perfect, a lot of people shy away from that word, perfect, because of how it may be perceived. But we're going to talk about that word tonight, amen? So let's talk about letter perfect. Letter perfect. And letter perfect is correct to the smallest detail. Correct to the smallest detail. Verbatim. Letter perfect is verbatim. In the exact words, word for word, being in or following the exact words. Being in or following the exact words. That's powerful. I'm going to say that one again. Being in or following the exact words. Okay, what's letter? And I only wrote a few definitions, not all of them. Letter is a direct or personal written or printed message addressed to a person or organization. A direct or personal written or printed message addressed to a person or organization. It's also the strict or outward sense or significance. The strict or outward sense or significance. It's a style or type. Keep that in mind. The definition for a letter is a style of type. Now let's look at the word perfect. Being entirely without fault or defect, flawless. And I believe that's one reason why a lot of people shy away from that word. Being entirely without fault or defect, flawless. Another definition is satisfying all requirements, accurate. Satisfying all requirements, accurate. Corresponding to an ideal standard or abstract concept. Listen to these next three. Faithfully reproducing the original. Faithfully reproducing the original. This is what perfect means. Mature. Perfect means mature. Of an extreme kind. Glory to God. Sounds peculiar to me. Chosen generation, holy nation, royal priesthood, a peculiar people, of an extreme kind, unmitigated, being so definitely what is stated as to offer little chance of change or relief. Being so definitely what is stated as to offer little chance of change or relief. So let's look at the passage again. Say Matthew, the 5th chapter, 43rd verse. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified version this time. Now that we have some understanding of what the word perfect is. Matthew, the 5th chapter, 43rd verse, out of the Amplified Version. And it says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers alike. 46 says, for if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Do not even the tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your brethren, what more than others are you doing? Do not even the Gentiles, the heathen, do that? 48 says, you therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So listen to that. Let's read that again. Verse 48. You therefore must be perfect. Well, what's perfect? Growing into a complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect. So that takes away the, I would say, fear of the word perfect, of someone thinking that they have to be sinless, flawless. Because a lot of people say, well, only Jesus was perfect. Is it true? Is that really a true statement? Only Jesus was perfect. Only Jesus was sinless. That's what we can say about Jesus. Only he was sinless. But he wasn't the only perfect one. And let me show you this in Genesis, the 6th chapter. We're going to go to Genesis, the 6th chapter, starting at the 5th verse. Genesis 5, starting at 6. Actually, Genesis 6, starting at 5. And it reads, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Wow. And it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Wow. God's perfect creation. The man who he breathed his spirit into, his breath of life, who he created in his own image and after his own likeness. Now he's saying that it repented him that he hath made man. That's the state that the world was in at that particular time. Well, let's go to verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We need to thank God for Noah right now. Hallelujah. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9 says, these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. What? Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark. This is key. Verse 14. God told Noah, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. So God gave Noah a command. He commanded him to make an ark. And then he gave him specific instructions on how to make that ark. And verse 17 says, and behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with them. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Verse 20 says, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Now, this next verse is key. Everything I just read was leading up to this next verse. It says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So that's one example of God calling a man, a human being, perfect. Let's look at another one. Genesis, the 17th chapter. Genesis 17. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, "And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." This is God telling a man to be perfect. He says, walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make thy covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." Now understand this. This that he's telling Abram, it has not happened yet. He said, I will make you a father of many nations. But at the time, Abram has not had Isaac yet. Now, Ishmael was born, but he wasn't talking about Ishmael because Ishmael came outside of the covenant. He wasn't the promised seed. So it's interesting that he's telling him now, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. And he hasn't had Isaac yet. Verse 5 says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And see, right there, he gave Abram a new name, because when you have an encounter with God, you're not the same anymore. Glory to God. You're not the same. And along with his name, he gave him his purpose. And I challenge people to find your purpose. Your name is your purpose. We don't have a name just to be called something. But every time someone says our name, they're speaking our purpose. Glory to God. So every time someone would call his name Abraham, they were speaking his purpose, calling his destiny. For a father of many nations have I made thee. Verse 6 says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 9 says, and God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man's child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in a house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. That's called a connected blessing right there. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. All right, let's go to Romans, the second chapter, Romans 2. So we see that there have been at least two perfect men other than Jesus. Romans 2, verse 25. Says, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the Abrahamic covenant in the Old Testament was under the letter, under the law. The particular Jewish culture, they had to be circumcised in order to be part of the chosen people. Well, over in Romans, it said that, verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, talking about in the natural sense. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So, of course, this is after Jesus had come. And Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. Amen? Because he is the Word of God, which... That's why I wanted to point out one definition of perfect. It says, being so definitely what is stated as to offer little chance of change or relief. Being letter perfect, word for word, being in or following the exact words. If any man be in Christ, who is the Word of God, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So at that particular time, he's a perfect being. And then it says, or following the exact word. We take the name Christian. I used to be a Mississippian because I lived in Mississippi. Now I'm considered a Georgian because I live in Georgia. Well, because we are in Christ, that's what makes us Christians. Amen? We have to follow the exact word that God spoke. And being a follower of Christ is what makes us a Christian. A style of type. The strict or outward sense or significance. So being perfect is not being without sin. Because only one fits that status. Being perfect is being obedient. That's what being perfect is. Being obedient to the letter, word for word. So let's look at obedience. What is being obedient? Obedient is submissive to the restraint or command of authority. Submissive to the restraint or command of authority. Willing to obey. So that's what being obedient is. Being submissive to the restraint or command of God, of His Word. Being in compliance with the demands or requests of one in authority. That's another definition of obedience. Being in compliance. The profession that I'm in, we have certain words as compliance, non-compliance. Those who are non-compliant, there are consequences. Those who are compliant, there are rewards. Just like the Word of God. Those who are compliant to the Word of God, there are rewards. Because a lot of times the Word of God has conditions. A lot of times it says, if you obey, if you do, if you say, then God says, I will. He says to us, if you do, then I will. So we have to be in compliance with his word. Amen. Now, let's go to St. Matthew's. St. Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 43rd verse. And I'm going to read it this time in the Message translation. Amen. St. Matthew 5:43. And it says, you're familiar with the old written law. This is Jesus speaking. He says, you're familiar with the old written law. Love your friend and its unwritten companion. Hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. This is Jesus saying what you've heard in the past. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you. Wow. Wow. Another thing I hear in my profession, a lot of people say, I didn't start cussing until I started working here. Wow. Really? I've been doing this 17 years. I haven't cussed at all. I get the same thing you get. I get threatened. I get talked about. Even have to get physical. But it's about your character. It's about living a perfect life, not sinless, but obedient to God's word. And I'm talking about those who profess to be Christians that are saying, I didn't start cussing until I started working in this profession. I'm like, really? Wow. That's a whole nother issue. Let me continue. It says, I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, when someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. That's what Job did. His so-called friends, they came to him supposedly to encourage him, comfort him through what he was going through. But they were judging him, saying, you must be doing something. You can't be living right going through what you're going through. But in the end, it says, and Job prayed for his friends. And after he prayed for his friends, he was restored double. So I challenge you, if you're being persecuted, if you're being talked about, pray for those who are doing it. Do good to them. Be kind to them. Let them bring out the best in you and not the worst. I like to tell people, especially when I first go to work and I get all of this negativity, hostility, I tell them, look, this is our first time seeing each other today. So I know that how you feeling has nothing to do with me. So let's get to the real issue. What's really going on here? That's an understanding approach, that it's not personal towards me. That's the approach of love. Amen. So it says, let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. Anybody ever done something against God? I have both of my hands raised. Thank you for your love, God. His perfect love covers all sin. Thank you, Father. He gives his best. The sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless the good and bad, the nice and nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that if you simply say hello to those who greet you. Do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up, glory to God. That's what perfect means, to grow up. Mature. Says, grow up. You're kingdom subjects, held to a higher standard. We're expected to respond a certain way. It says corresponding to an ideal standard or abstract concept. Because we profess to be Christians, we're expected to act like Christians, to live like Christians, to be Christians. Be like Christ. Be like God. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity, which is something we talked about last week. Live out your God-created identity. That's that call to holy living that we talked about last week. Live generously and graciously toward others. the way God lives toward you. That hits home right there. That's personal. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives towards you. That's the same scripture that says, be ye holy, for God is holy. Be ye perfect, for God is perfect. It's not about living a sinless life. It's about living a God-loving life. We're here to spread God's love. We're here to not just represent him, but to represent him. Show them who God is by how we act, by how we speak, by how we live. That's the letter perfect Christian. Amen. So if your confession is only Jesus was perfect, now you know better. That's what I almost named my title last week. Now you know better. Now let's live the letter perfect Christian life. According to his word. Word for word. Being examples. Being his representatives, being ambassadors in this earth. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, God. Thank you for challenging us. Thank you for charging us. And we even thank you for changing us, Father. Help us to be a letter perfect Christian, to be obedient to your word, to love our enemies, those who hate us, those who persecute us, those who challenge us. Help us to respond with your love. We thank you and we praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, that ends our message for this week. Thank you for calling in. If anybody wants to share a testimony or ask for prayer or make a comment, you just press the number 1 on your phone and I'll click you in, amen? We have a couple of minutes left. Amen. Well, love you. God bless you. And live the letter perfect Christian life. Amen. Bless you.